Hello and welcome to episode 38 of Zion's Finest. This is Kenny Brown, and I have got two special guests, Micah and Hassan.
Hi.
What up, y'all?
We are so glad to have these guys. Are on the active on the forums, but they're also very active on our Slack channel, and we have a ton of fun with them. These guys are both really, really good players. We're going to get into their intros in terms of like their IE intros here in a bit. They are going to be talking about their preparation for Worlds, what they're doing to crush their opposition, although they're both planning on losing to me, which is kind of a bummer. But before we get into that, just a few housekeeping items. First off, we want to encourage everyone to join us on the Slack channel. Worlds is coming up in 2 weeks. Or is that right? Or is it even? No, it's next week.
It's like a week and a half.
Yeah, okay, that's crazy. Okay, so apparently we only have a week left. So in that week, everyone's just practicing, talking about lists, kind of doing the final tweaks, preparing for Worlds, and we're just having a ton of fun with it. We'd also encourage everyone to support us on Patreon. Go to patreon.com/Zion's Finest. I would love to get you some alt art cards in the mail. You will love them. We have an Ahsoka and Han alt art card, and we're working on some others. We'd also encourage you to leave 5-star reviews for BoardWars.eu, Twin Troopers, Fully Armed and Operational, and us. We are all producing IA content because we love this game, and we want 5-star reviews because that's awesome. Okay, but let's turn it over to my brothers. First off, let's start with Micah. Give us a quick introduction, your IA background, tell us what you like to run, et cetera, et cetera.
All right. So I started playing pretty much right off the beginning with campaign. I bought the core box to play with some of my students because it was a game that would get us into Star Wars and just be able to have 4 or 5 people playing. Quickly found out that playing as the Imperials with teenagers was oppressive, and they didn't enjoy it as much as I wanted them to. So I was keeping up with the forums and all that stuff, and I missed the first regionals. I got to walk into one and see it because I was going to a graduation later that day and couldn't stay. So I really missed that, but I also missed the negative experience of the 4x4. And so I got to keep up with all that, listening to like some of the old podcasts that are no longer anywhere near operational anymore. And just hearing them whine and complain, but rightfully so, about officers and all the other guys. And I was just like, wow, that sounds really bad. And then they nerfed them, and I found out that there was a store within 30 minutes of me that was going to have a store championship. And I was like, really? I didn't expect that in the middle of Kansas. So I just decided, hey, we're going to go try this. We're going to try out the skirmish stuff. So we played like 1 or 2 games on our own and just decided to go to a tournament and just had a blast. I think I got second and I lost to a Royal Guard champion because, you know, nobody thought they were any good. But, you know, when you don't expect to play them, you don't know how to play against them. So the Bantha came out between the next tournament, and I just read up everything and practiced with it and came to that tournament. And he's like, wow, I didn't have any idea that could happen. And I just slaughtered the Royal Guard champion. It was great. So I've been playing ever since, taking kids to tournaments and stuff, and then decided to go to Worlds last year in 2017. Went with Matsu Rubin and Seif, two guys from Kansas. Yeah, on the forums. And then I'm Master Chief Spiff. I just expected to, you know, hopefully win more than I lost. That was my goal, kind of. And then quickly I was 3-0. And then I played Seif in the fourth round and just got the way better draw and stuff, and went 4-0 and ran into Paul Heber. And I got up really high and took out his Bantha. And then by that time he was able to slingshot around, and I think I was up like 34 to like 22, and he ended up coming back and ending the game at 40. So I wasn't able to do that. And then I lost to Ira the next day, and then was able to win my last game and get into the top 16 somehow. And then that's where I met Brett Kelly, who I'd been, you know, kind of keeping up with here online on Vassal and stuff. But played him in the elimination games as 8 and 9. I think I was 9 and he was 8. And it was a long, hard fought game, but he ended up pulling that one out with a Shyla whip, and so that it all went downhill from there.
Were you running Scum Hunters?
I was running Scum Hunters. Yeah, it was an 8-act with Jabba, Gideon, Greedo, Hired Guns, Vento, 2 Weequays, 3PO, Black Market, and Temporary Alliance. I believe that's it.
Very, very cool. So now what is your most favorite thing to run?
I still enjoy running Scum. I've dabbled around a little bit with the Vader and with the Han stuff. But right now I just feel like Scum. One, I don't want to run 50% of Vader's, and I also just don't feel like piloting Han for a full day. So I'm probably looking at doing some Scum.
Is it going to be IG Scum, Micah?
Probably. Isn't that later in the podcast when we talk about it?
I just want to know whether how to prepare myself for my loud groan. Okay, that's awesome. Mike, are there any other FFG games you play?
I started playing X-Wing way back in the day when it first came out as well. And that's kind of what got me to hear about Imperial Assault. And I had bought like the first three waves and decided after playing like all of three games in 2.5 years with kids, I was like, I'm going to sell this and get into Imperial Assault.
Fair. Totally fair. All right, let's turn it over to Hassan.
Yeah, so I have actually sort of the opposite story as Micah. So I've been playing IA only for like maybe 6 or 7 months now. I started playing like sort of after the Droid Wave came out, but before Heart of the Empire.
Okay.
So it was very much still that, you know, Hunter heavy Scum meta. And I come from an X-Wing background. I've played X-Wing for like the past maybe 2 or 3 years now. And that was sort of my intro to miniatures gaming. I'd never played any sort of miniatures game before that, or any sort of competitive game before that even. And so I played X-Wing for a long time, but, you know.
What do you like to run in X-Wing?
Oh, Imperials all the time.
What kind of Imperials?
Imperial Aces. I mean, can you play anything else?
There we go.
I guess there's Swarms, but Swarms have been dead for years now.
Yeah.
And, yeah, so sort of what drew me to IA was just sort of the X-Wing meta has gotten, you know, kind of ridiculous lately with, like, regen and turrets and bombs and all that junk. So I needed kind of, you know, an outlet for all that. And so I started turning toward IA. And so actually the person who got me into the game was a local X-Wing player named Dave Carver, who's been, he's been playing X-Wing for a long time as well, even longer than me. And he started doing some IA campaigns with our local X-Wing group and also played some skirmish on the side, but he was never really a competitive player. He typically runs like these silly like creature lists with like rancors and nexus and stuff. So in Columbus, which is where I'm from, we don't really have a competitive skirmish scene for IA. It's predominantly just X-Wing. When Dave got me into the game, I started looking more into the skirmish side of the competitive side of things. And I was basically the only competitive player in all of Columbus. Pretty soon, one of our other fellow X-Wing players, Ray Fox, got into the game as well. And we've been playing together pretty regularly ever since then. And I also got another one of my buddies, John Mesmore, into the game, who was also, you know, an exile from X-Wing.
Yeah, he's a I've heard his name in X-Wing. He's done well, hasn't he?
He's done very well. He was the Nova champion, Nova Open champion, I think, like 2015 or 2016. So he's a very high-ranked player.
Is he the one who won with Dash Double Bs?
No, he won with some janky, like, Rourke and Y-Wings. I don't know. He loves to run just, like, the jankiest stuff. It's great.
Awesome. Very, very cool. So what do you like to run in IA?
So, yeah, I started out just playing, like, IG Hunters because that's sort of what everyone played in that post sort of droid wave.
Yeah.
Pre-Heart of the Empire. And that was fun. Like, I'm a very aggressive player. I like to just watch things die. Yeah. So, you know, IG Hunters does that very well.
Yes.
But as soon as Heart of the Empire came out, you know, my boy Vader got fixed and I had to play Vader. And so ever since Heart of the Empire, I've pretty much just been playing Vader lists. And, you know, the current iteration of that is the Unshakable Vader, which is, you know, Vader, 2E Jets, Unshakable, Zillow, Rule by Fear, and then whatever else you can add. And for me right now, that's just regular riots and 2 officers. I think that's sort of the standard version that everyone's running. And that just sort of fits my play style. I'm a very aggressive player, and that's a very aggressive list.
That is like the very aggressive variation of that very aggressive list.
Yeah, it's wonderful.
I'm sure you love it. Awesome. Okay, well, with that being the case, let's talk about Worlds. You're both going to Worlds, right?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
So you don't have to give us like every waking detail of what your lists are going to be. Feel free to talk about as much as you'd like, but tell us what you're thinking about running to, what you're thinking about bringing to Worlds, and if there's been any changes to your list building or whatever, your list decisions since Uskru was released.
All right. Yeah, I've been talking about doing Iggy and either two Equays or one Equay. And if I did the one Equay, it'd be with Hera and Greedo. But either one, I like the R2 and the card draw from R2 in the middle of the round instead of the black market. Hoping for it at the end. Though if I went to double Equays, I'd almost want to get Greedo in somehow. Because I've like having tried Greedo and Hera on Uskru, I just really enjoy having Greedo to run around and do things on that map and then trying him out on some of the other maps lately. It's kind of hard for me to decide between the two, but I've got to nail it down here in the next day or two and just say which one it is. So,
you know, I've also seen people run R2-D2 instead of Greedo or Hera. That's another interesting choice.
Yeah, I've got R2-D2 in both iterations. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, the two big iterations I've seen are IG double Equays, Rebel Care Package, and then, so I think the list we've been seeing DT playing on Vassal is, it's IG double Equays, Elite Jawa, I do think he's got Greedo, Rebel Care Package, he doesn't have Hera, instead he's got R2-D2 and Black Market, and obviously Devious Scheme. And Temporary Alliance. So that, I mean, he's just going maximum card draw. He wants to get Blaze of Glory in his hand round one, maybe round two. But
wow, I wonder if he's dropped a few command cards to try and not waste spots in his command cards then with card drawing.
Yeah, I mean, I know he's been, we actually talked about this, he's been playing Black Market Prices for a while, and okay, I've become super sold on it. So I mean, if you've got Black, time for a plug. Hassan is super good at math. And so now that we've actually got him on the podcast, he can tell us. Hassan, I mean, we've talked about this before. The chance of drawing Blaze of Glory with Devotion, Planning, Black Market Prices. I mean, do you have some kind of a ballpark in terms of what that is?
Oh, yeah. So I'd say if you're running IG, you should strongly consider having R2-D2 in your list. Because, you know, with just like just planning, no R2-D2, no Black Market Prices. Like, let's say you just have planning in your deck. It's like 42% chance to draw it during round one. So that's even before you draw your two cards at the end of the round.
Okay.
That already is like pretty high and it's kind of scary.
That's like, just planning.
That's just planning. You add in Black Market Prices and it's like 47.
Okay.
Now, if it's just planning in R2-D2, it's like 52%.
Oh, wow.
So like, half the time, if you have R2-D2 in your list and like no Black Market Prices, then you're going to get Blaze of Glory round one, which is super scary for the other player. That's like way higher than I thought it would be. And then if you add Black Market Prices, it's like almost 60%. It's ridiculous.
So how have you been practicing a lot on Uskru? Like have you gotten a bunch of games in?
I've gotten to play probably 5 or 6 games. Okay. And they've all been so far with the scum lists.
So then let me ask you, Micah. So I was thinking, we were talking about this earlier, like last week. I'm not sold. I don't think the Devious Scheme is very good on Uskru. And for that reason, I don't think IG's is good on it. Now, obviously IG's a super good figure, but I don't worry about it. I'm glad that this is the case, but I don't think Devious and IG give you as much value on that map because nothing is happening round one. And very rarely is something going to happen round two. I mean, you just know if you're playing an IG on the other side of the board that by the time the first starts flying, he will have Blaze of Glory. And so, you know, it's just like, I just don't know if the delay that it takes for that game to get going means that IG and Devious suffer. Have you given any thought to that?
Well, Hassan, what's the odds that I've got Negation in my starting hand with all that card draw? But seriously, I get initiative with IG88, and I can decide what I want to do, or with Hidden Weak Ways. Put some pressure on, shoot a couple things, maybe kill something. The whole door opening thing is crazy head games.
Yeah, for sure.
So and here's the thing. I want the bottom side when I want it. And I maybe want the top side. I haven't decided yet on like the courier droid mission. because that topside has some pretty interesting staging points. So, I'm still trying to figure that. Regardless, I want which side I want more often than I can, or more often than not. So, I still like it.
I think like Devious suffers a little bit from, you know, the crazy round two, round three, you know, switch up we get in Uscrew, but I don't think IG suffers very much. Because, I mean, if you think about it, like, the doors are going to be closed, you know, at the end of round one. Mm-hmm. And IG is one of the few figures that can actually, like, has enough movement to run out and get a shot round one and then move back to safety.
Yeah.
He's not going to get as usual, you know, round one, blaze of glory, kill everything shenanigans off.
Yeah.
But he's still, like, a very good figure on this map.
And at 8 activations, I still get to go last more often than not, except against Han Solo, because he's a punk.
He's a jerk. Han! That's right. Good old Han. Han, old buddy. That's interesting. You are in an 8 activation, as opposed to, I think, the list I've seen, DT and JK. He's one of our local players. He's obviously very, very good. He's going to Worlds. He's running a 7 activation list. He's got Hera instead of R2-D2 in Black Market, yeah. But I don't know if he's going to stick with that.
Yeah, if I went double weekway, I'd be down to 7. See, that's the hard thing. I'm like 8 activations or 7.
I don't know. That is a tough choice. But man, I still think weekways on Uscrew are just loving that, because all 4 of your weekways can be focused round 2. That's just crazy, right? Like that start of round 2. By the time the fur is really flying, which is like mid round 2, all of your weekways are focused. So, I mean, they're going to be removing lots of things off the board. That scares me, but
I'm kind of wondering about that actually. I just did some looking at opening doors against Han and some stuff just a few minutes ago, and yeah, there's some things that Han can do that I'm just like, oh wow, I didn't know that you'd do that. So I'm not so sure that I could have time to focus up a second set.
Well, I guess it kind of depends on obviously what the scum or what the Han player is doing, but it is true. Very, very, very hard for Han to get himself in a safe position where he can be shooting round 2 anytime before really realistically the end of round 2, where he's not going to just get instantly removed. So if I'm on top side, I have no problem putting Han over by the terminal, because he's got a hallway that he can or a corner that he can shoot around. Mm-hmm. As opposed to the other side of the board, on the other side of the fountain, it's a flat line, so he can't, so they can't hide from mm-hmm. Han there. I do really like that, but that's only if my opponent is being super, super aggressive, if they're coming out. Most of the time, they're going to be staging over on their left side, over by their terminal and by the booth room, but I don't know, it's going to be really interesting to see how that works out.
Yeah, yeah. That difficult terrain over by the door is an interesting place, too. Yeah, over absolutely. In the lounge or whatever.
Yes. Yes. It's interesting. What I've been doing is using Dracata to just completely gum up the works there so that nobody can run through that area.
That's Demolish so is the worst.
Demolish is the best, and everyone's going to fear it.
You would do that, Kenny.
I would. All right, Hassan, tell us, what are you going to be running at Worlds?
Yeah, so I basically already said it was a Unshakeable Vader.
Okay.
And I've been sort of running different variations of this list. I mean, the core is obviously Vader with Driven by Hatred, 2 E-Jets, an Officer, Zillow, Ruled by Fear, Unshakeable. Oh, I should also say, if you're running the Unshakeable Parting Blow Vader, you should definitely be running Ruled by Fear, because it takes the chances of drawing the combo by round 2 from 34% without Ruled by Fear to 60% with Ruled by Fear.
Wow.
And that's a huge difference.
Yes, that is huge. Holy smokes, 30% difference between running. So what you're saying is having Parting Blow and either Dark Energy or Looking for a Fight, right?
Yeah, having at least one Parting Blow and at least one of Dark Energy or Looking for a Fight.
Holy smokes.
It's 60% with Real Life Fear once you get into round 2, which is like really good.
So I guess the trade-off there is what you have to do is drop to regular Riots as opposed to Elite Riots.
Yeah, so this is sort of the thing I've been struggling with. So now you've got, like, what, 8 points left after all that stuff? So you can do maybe, like, an Elite Riot and just have 5 activations, which I've been trying a lot. Or you could just drop down to regular Riots and get that second Officer back, so you're back to 6 activations. And I've been sort of juggling between the two. you know, on the one hand, elite riots are really good for their weaken, and that extra health makes them usually survive like at least two attacks.
Yeah.
Whereas the regular riots, they can be one shot because they only have five health. But they're still annoying to pick off, so I don't know. I'm still not sure which version I'm taking to Worlds, but I'm leaning a bit more towards the regular riots with six activations.
That's what our local player Scott has been playing. It's kind of weird, though, because how it shakes out. He's got an extra point. I don't know what he's doing. He must only have one officer or something. So he tossed a targeting computer on one of his sets of jets.
No, with regular riots, you can get two officers, but you have 1 point left over.
Oh, that's it. Okay. So, yeah. So he's been using that instead of taking an initiative bid, which is probably what I would do, just so that you're not – so you can deny Han Rangers the top – or the bottom side on Nalhada, but –
Yeah, cool. I've been debating that too. Right now what I'm using that 1 point for is I cross-train the riots.
Oh.
Just to bring, like, literally just one card, Intelligence Leak.
Dirty.
Because that's all you can fit in that list. Like, the other 14 points are basically spent, and you only have 1 point left. And that's going to go to Intelligence Leak if I cross-train my riots.
Okay, and so I'm sorry, keep going.
So, like, that is situationally good, because you really just want it round one while your riots are still alive. Yeah. But if you can get it round one, which is like a 1 in 3 chance, because you're drawing five cards with Rule by Fear, and you can just like take away Blaze of Glory or On the Lamb or something, that's just huge.
So huge.
Especially like my favorite thing is like, you know, the IG player plays Devotion round one. And I'm like, okay, I won't play Negation. Go ahead. And then I Intel Leak them and drop Blaze of Glory. And it's just the best feeling.
That's gross. That is the best.
So that actually brings up, I was going to ask about Uskru, but... I mean, one thing I think is going to do really, really well on Ahsoka's map is Spies, because it gives them more time to get the cards they need in order to wreck their opponent's day. And so is that Intelligence Leak? Was that before Ahsoka's map was announced, or how long have you been thinking about that?
No, I've been thinking about that for like maybe the past month or so. Really, I just went cross-training because I didn't know what else to do with it. I didn't want to do just one targeting computer on one of my jets because I don't like asymmetry.
Oh, that's literally
the only reason.
I'm completely with you.
And, I thought about a bid, but, like, every time you come across a Devious list, that bid is doing nothing. So
yep, absolutely.
I figure, cross-training, you're not always going to get Intelligence Leak every game, but the games you do get it, it's going to be very powerful.
Huge.
And, Uskru just makes it even better because you have a higher chance of drawing it during the game.
Okay, so... with this being the case, what we're going to do is, despite my attempts to perjure them, these guys are really, really good at IA, as we've heard. So what I want to do is, I want to break their brains open for a little bit, and let's talk about what they're planning on, because we know what World is going to be. We're going to see probably 50% Vader lists. We're going to see a little bit, like a little bit of seasoning of just like regular Trooper Swarm. The fully armed and operational guys have talked about the double-double, which is the double jets, double riots. We'll probably see some of that. We'll see some ATDPs, but primarily it's going to be Vader, 50% of that. I think we'll probably see 25% Han Rangers and 25% IG. And then within each of those like little divisions, there's going to be flavoring of some sort or another. So with that being the case, what I want to do is just have these guys, we'll go through these archetypes and talk about what they're doing to prepare, like how they plan to deal with, like when Micah is going to be taking his IG and running into Vader, like what is the plan? Because he's going to be doing it almost every game. So with that being the case, let's talk about Han Rangers. Hassan, I want you have got a strong disadvantage against Han Rangers in that you don't have range. So how is it that you're going to deal with them at Worlds?
Yeah, okay. So Han Rangers is probably the list that is going to give me the most trouble. And really, like, the best way to combat it with Vader, I think, is just ignore Han. Just completely ignore him and close range on the Rangers. Because as soon as the Rangers lose their rerolls, they don't actually put out that much damage. Because the blue dice is kind of swingy.
Absolutely.
So, I mean, I've played against a lot of Han before with Vader. And, when I was young and inexperienced, I would be like, okay, let's just kill Han. It'll be easy, right? No.
I can two-shot him.
It's not. Oh, man. Last regional I went to, I played a game where, I had the whole parting blow shenanigans, right? I went up and attacked Han with Vader. He dodged. And then I did a parting blow, dark energy combo right after that. He on the land. And then ever since then, I've decided I'm not attacking Han with Vader. It's just not worth it. And then he got a return fire off and did like 4 damage or something. So it was like,
yeah, exactly.
Somehow you did more damage to me. I don't know. So I say you just ignore Han and you kill the Rangers. You just go after the Rangers.
Yep.
And try to close the distance as quickly as possible. And the idea is basically you kill everything but Han and just try to get 10 points from objectives. That's your win condition.
I think that is obviously absolutely right. I have noticed that Han Rangers, that it's kind of funny because the Han Ranger players, the thought used to be we ignore Vader and kill everything else. But I think there has actually been kind of a shift to where people, Han Rangers, want to kill Vader. Because if they kill Vader, then the ability of double jets to remove the rest of their list is almost zero. So obviously it's very dependent on card draw and having the right cards in hand. But I think seeing how that is going to work out is going to be very, very interesting at Worlds.
Yeah, the problem with like Rangers for Vader is that, or the problem, you know, with Vader is that Vader, if you just leave him alone, he can close distance on the Rangers and he might not get there like by round two, but by round three, he's going to be in the Rangers' face and just killing them. So I think
absolutely
it's correct for, you know, the Rangers to go for Vader. And, you know, most of these Han Rangers lists have, like, ridiculous card draw. You know, you'll get, like, 8-9 cards by round two. So you're going to see, like, Assassinate, Titan Reflexes, Tools for the Job by then. Tough luck is huge against Vader. So you can put a lot of damage on Vader pretty early.
That is going to be interesting because I think that, like, the meta is shifting in that sense. Not, like, the meta is shifting, but, like, the play style is shifting to where the Han Rangers are thinking about, like, they're including cards like Priority Target, which against Vader lists, it used to be, well, what's the point of this? We're not attacking Vader. But now it's like, no, it gives you a focus when you and an extra damage when you didn't have it otherwise. So that's when you go for Vader. It'll be interesting to see how that turns out. Hassan, do you have anything else for us on that matchup?
No, I think that's about it. Yeah, just close distance. That's the most important thing you can do. You can't just hang out there. You gotta throw Vader right at the Rangers because when he's in their faces, they're scared.
Absolutely. I mean, they are almost guaranteed to get one. They will get one shot by his normal attack. And there's even a really strong chance, not that they'll get one shot by his.
There's a decent attack. Chance that the end of round attack can kill him. Not huge, but it is possible.
Possible. Yeah, exactly. And I mean, like, that's it. And if they've taken any damage, then, you know, it's over. So,
yeah,
that'll be awesome. Okay, Micah, you're going to be running something that's got a slightly more favorable matchup against Han Rangers. Tell us what is your plan for dealing with them?
I'm probably going to want to ignore Han as well. The few times that I've played against him, I'm just like, take a weak way, shoot Han. Han on the lambs behind somebody still has line of sight and kills the weak way. Like, that sucks. So, just stuff like that. I just really don't want to shoot Han. Not having automatic unblockable damage. Like, one thing with Vader and jets, I would love to have Overrun and Grenadier and that kind of thing. So you hit Han once and they're like, I'm going to save my on the lamb. And then you just destroy him with the unblockable damage right after that. Like, absolutely. That would be how I would do that if I was Vader. But I don't want to play Vader. I mean, it's going to just be... It's going to be depending on if they keep them together or where they're going to go. It's probably going to be take out 3PO, take out some Rangers, try and reduce that Ranger threat as much as possible. Spread out with some of my other guys to contest some objectives and just really hope that I can reduce the effectiveness of Han as much as I can. And then maybe just come back on Han with everything I've gotten and win the race.
See, it's interesting you say that because I would have thought what your play would be, and this is something I'm interested to hear what you say because I have no idea what I'm talking about, is that with Han, I would think you would want to draw on the lamb pretty early on because after on the lamb has been played, Han's durability plummets because he can't roll blanks anymore or he'll die.
That's true.
So that's the nice thing about weak ways is Han can't dodge against weak ways. I mean, the odds of that are, I'm sure Hassan can tell me, are infinitesimally small. Not infinitesimally, but very small, right? And so if Han's not going to be able to get a dodge, he has to play on the lamb, or he has to be super careful. And if he's super careful, then that gives you more map control for IG to do his stupid bomb shenanigans, right? Where he comes in with Blaze and removes everything. I mean, that's just something I've thought about, but do you have a different take on that?
Well, I mean, especially if I run the single set of Equays. That's a little scary because, again, if let's say I do 4 or 5 damage to Han, and if he's sitting next to 3PO, I'm not doing that. But let's say I do 4 or 5 damage to Han and then lose my Weequay, and then my other Weequay goes and Han on the lambs. I mean, maybe that's worth it. But going against 3 more Rangers after that, that really sucks.
Yeah. Great point.
So it's just a really hard matchup, I think. I think I've got plenty of tools to do as well, but it's going to be a little bit tricky each time.
I like that. That's interesting. I feel like Han Rangers is the thing I least want to see on the other side of the board just because it's got the ability to do just such crazy swings, like Blaze. I guess I hate seeing IG on the other side because it's kind of the same thing. But the ability for Han Rangers to, in 2 activations, or easily remove 3 figures and maybe 4, right, if they've got the cards that they need. That's just insane.
Oh, yeah.
You know? Like, that's just insane. And so it's going to be really, really interesting. I thought more people were going to be running Han Rangers. I don't think that is the case anymore. Even with the loss of Jabba's and picking up Ahsoka's map, I still don't think we're going to see a ton of them, but obviously they're going to be, Brett Kelly is probably going to be running them. So one of the best players is going to be running them. And I think there will be a lot of people who will run them just because they're a rebel faction. So if you want to run rebels, that's probably the thing to run. And they're just very, very consistent. Good on offense, not the tankiest list, but they're consistently good on offense.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of Han Rangers on Vassal actually. It seems like they've spiked in popularity a bit ever since Uscrew came out. I don't know, maybe people are just trying it out on the new map, or I don't know if they're taking tutorials or not, but like, yeah, it just seems like more and more people are playing it.
Well, I'm thinking about Uscrew, if they get the top, like they can just hide behind those 2 walls and just like, yeah, come up into our deployment zone. We'll start spreading out other ways, and what you're going to have to do. You're going to have to run up in there, because if they can take their time and just duck around the corners and shoot, that's bad.
Yeah, that's a good point. I was kind of surprised because with Uscrew, I played Brett Kelly a few times, and he has taken the bottom pretty much every time, and he's gotten initial, so he takes bottom side. And I've been really surprised because what he has been doing is he pivots him around the left side, which goes around the booth. So then if I've got my guys camping over by my terminal, end of round, or like round 3, end of round 3, start of round 4, he's taking long shots down that top hallway, which is obviously the right move. And it's caused me to think, I don't know exactly how it is that you push Han Rangers if they're coming around that side. Obviously, it denies them shots for a little while, but I don't know what the strategy is in terms of getting those guys out of there, other than like Drakata getting an arcing shot and blasting for 8 million. But
I hate arcing shot.
Oh, it's the best.
It's the worst.
You seem to have it in your opening hand like every game I see.
Hey, it's crazy. I'd rather be lucky than good.
You used it against Hera twice. 1 shot kills. So stupid.
It's. I was playing against Brett actually, and he had safely ensconced an Alliance Ranger, a Focus Alliance Ranger behind a Smuggler and C-3PO, and I was like, nope, I'm gonna arcing shot that guy. So it's the worst.
Of course, it's a dream killer.
Yeah, of course. Of course.
And then did you collateral damage and kill 3PO too?
I don't think I think I collateral damaged to kill the Alliance Smuggler, actually.
You did. Jeez. It was great.
Yeah, it was the worst.
And then his Han was completely exposed. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. We'll see. This map is interesting, but maybe we can talk about that a little bit more in a second.
Yeah.
Okay, let's go on to, so we've talked about Han Rangers. We're going to see a lot of them, but they probably won't be everywhere. But now let us talk about the Dark Lord of the Sith, who Hassan is going to be running. We know that the current very popular archetype is this Unshakeable Vader. So it's Vader, he's got 2 copies of Parting Blow, Unshakeable as an attachment. And the command cards are a little bit different for everybody, but it's a very clear core. Vader, double jets, Unshakeable, at least 1 officer, Zillow, you should include Rule by Fear. Okay, but then it has been interesting because I've seen other things on the board. Vader and Taro, I've seen that. Vader and ATDP, and obviously there's the old standby of Vader and Palp. So what I want to do is have each of you break down what Hassan, what your plan is in the mirror, and then for these different iterations of Vader, like what the game plan is for attacking Vader, like how it is that you want to approach these lists. So Hassan, let's start. Let's just do it like a standard mirror. What's the game plan?
You know, this is kind of embarrassing. I don't actually have a game plan yet.
Okay.
I have literally never played against Vader.
Really?
Which is crazy to think about. So yeah, I'm literally the only person who plays Vader in my local area, which, to be fair, my local area is like me and two other guys. Yeah. But I'm the only Vader player. And even like at the regionals I've been to, like I went to the Indy regional earlier this year. I was the only player out of 30 players that brought Vader.
What?
And the Ohio regional, I think, I don't even know if there were any other Vader players there either. But like, I don't know. The Midwest just hates Vader. So I've never gotten a chance to play against Vader.
Well, we should probably correct that sometime before Worlds.
It's just like, I don't know any Vader players. I got to figure that out. I guess I'll just make Ray or John, you know, my two buddies, make one of them play Vader and figure it out.
Yeah, we all take turns playing Vader against each other. It's great.
Yeah,
that sounds like so much fun.
That sounds like a lot of fun. Not.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. My initial instinct is kind of like, it almost comes down to initiative, right? Like whoever's Vader gets to move last in round one, they're going to have an extra attack against the opponent's Vader.
Absolutely.
And so that's just going to swing the damage heavily. So I feel like if you have initiative round one, you have to be a bit conservative. And if you don't have initiative round one and you see that your opponent's still being aggressive, you just go after them.
Absolutely.
Do you think that intelligence leak is going to give you an advantage?
Yeah, if they don't have a spy, well, you know, against Empire, Intelligence Leak isn't actually that huge. You know, the best thing I could probably do is, like, block a Parting Blow combo, which I guess could be kind of big against another Vader.
You can see what's in their hand, and if they've only got one.
That's right.
It's true. It can help for sure. I just don't think it's as much of a swing as it is against Hunters or Rebels who, like, depend on their cards.
Fair enough.
Absolutely. All right, so Hassan's game plan is don't have initiative and hopefully intelligence leak away their parting blow.
Yep.
What about you, Micah?
With Vader, I'm trying to stay away as far as I can. I don't want to get two shot by Vader with my Iggy. I did kill Vader just yesterday in a little store tournament with like three shots, two weak ways and one Iggy shot. So that was... That was pretty good. There was a tough luck in there. There was a assassinate. Maybe I had tools for the job. I can't remember. So it can definitely happen. I got to have the right cards. So again, the card draw is huge. Trying to stay away from the Vader. That was on the Jawa map. So arguably one of my least favorite Vader maps. Because it's so close that he can just be right there at the end of round one. Ready to hit things.
It's wonderful.
It's so stupid. No.
It is almost impossible to get away from Vader round one. I mean, realistically, like if you're going to move out anywhere, it's very tough to get away from him.
Yeah. So like I spread out and just try to stay away and then converge back in beginning of round two.
When you've got the cards that you need in order to remove him.
Yeah.
So that actually brings up the question. So are you obviously want to keep IG away from Vader, but are you like keeping him far enough away? Like, is the idea that I want IG to be presenting a threat towards these other things, like his jets and everything like that? And if I get the right cards, then I'll drop back in to kill Vader. It's only if I get the right cards am I going to come back for Vader. Otherwise, the game plan is just full court press all the time, the rest of his people.
Right, right. Or I'll try and like run around. Like, on the Jawa, I was on the bottom side. And so I was like down at the very bottom, and he'd had his Vader kind of in the. In the middle, right underneath his door, and then he moved over to my door. And so I just kind of played right around there and actually blocked some spots that Vader could get to with other cheap figures, trying to, you know, make sure he couldn't just easily get there and still be able to do anything other than one hit.
Makes total sense. That's going to be really, really interesting. I feel like, man, Vader is... I still haven't quite figured him out. I don't think anyone really has. I think that's kind of the cool thing about Vader is that he just keeps getting these changes, right? This unshakable Vader is the newest change, where he's still not figured out. And it's going to be really interesting to see how that works out with Worlds, especially with Ahsoka's map coming into the rotation. I don't think it's bad for him. I don't know. Do you guys have any thoughts on that? Vader, how Vader does on Ahsoka's map?
It's not terrible. I mean, my initial impressions were like, oh man, this sucks. It's so hard to like... So the thing with I don't even know how it's pronounced. Some people are saying Uscru, Uscru.
I'm sure some people are saying that.
Yeah, the problem with that map is that like it's so easy to just spread out horizontally, right?
Yes.
So like if you try to pick like you know, either the left side or the right side with Vader, your opponent can just go to the other side, and all you can really just do is Force Choke. So I've kind of thought about just going through the middle with all my dudes, because then Vader can at least, you know, hopefully get somewhere to attack someone like round two.
Yes.
So initially I thought, man, you know, it kind of sucks that my opponent can spread out, but like, I think there are ways around that. You know, there are ways to close distance.
Yeah, because the nice thing about the middle is that the problem with the middle is that you can't get there until end of round one, right? Because that's when the door is open.
Yeah, so you're not really going to, I mean, you can get an end of round Force Choke off, but you will not be able to get an end of round attack unless you're going for their terminal door. In which case, you're just like hitting R2-D2 with a red attack, which is probably going to get dodged. So whatever.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Don't do that. Most of the time, do not do that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, just looking at it, Vader can get almost anywhere beginning of round two from the middle. It's dumb. And then, I mean, I'm hoping that he goes to the other side of the map and I can move my guys to the other side of the map. And if I'm getting away with just Vader Force Choking, I'm hoping that's enough.
That is not enough value out of Vader, that's for sure.
Yeah, that's literally like, that's what happened to me the first time I played on Uscrew. I moved Vader up the right side, and my opponent was playing IG, and he moved him up the left side, and I just couldn't attack him. Yeah. It was bad.
Yeah, I think Hassan's right. The correct approach is, even if you have to, well, the problem is you're not losing anything, right? Because you're controlling the mill, and that's going to be really big for round two, so.
And it's great for the Jets too, because the Jets don't care about any of the difficult or blocking terrain or whatever. True. And it makes it a lot easier for them to move forward and get flyby off.
Great point. Yeah, that's the cool thing about this map is those Jets really can hide in a lot of places when they're coming out, because they're not stopped by like terrain that's going to stop everyone else. Okay, awesome. So let's move on. We don't really need to talk too much about there are these other iterations, right? We are going to see some ATDPs. We are going to see Vader Taro. We might see Vader Palp. I actually think we'll see more of that than most other iterations, just because it's just so clearly strong. And even if it's kind of been played a lot and played around a lot, it's just a clearly strong list. So I definitely think we'll...
It's also just thematic. So I feel like people will just bring Vader Palp for that reason.
Great point. Very, very great point. And also, I mean, there was winning. It was winning regionals recently, right? And so... I don't know if Unshakable Vader has won a regional yet. We just know because some really, really good players have been running it. That's how we know about the Unshakable Vader.
Did Lucas not play Unshakable Vader?
He did play Unshakable Vader.
Because he's won like everything. Except for against Brett.
No, so he was, I don't think he had, he didn't play the Unshakable Vader in his previous regionals wins. He was winning with Vader Palp, I think, or Vader and the set of Elite Riots.
Okay.
That's what he was winning with. And then it was for the New Jersey regional that James Hedgepeth had switched to the Unshakable Vader. Lucas stayed with his Vader Elite Riots with Rule by Fear. He didn't have Unshakable. And that was when he played James round one. He lost. And then James lost to Brett in the final. So that's kind of been the story of the Unshakable Vader, is that we know that like the best, not the best, but some very, very, very good Vader players, that's what they're running. And so that's how we know about it. But if you were only paying attention to regionals in like January and February, when Vader Palp was doing so well, that might be what you're thinking about taking.
Yeah, regionals lie.
That's true. Yeah. They do. What is your plan for dealing with objective focused lists like double riots, double jets? Like, what's the game plan? How do you want to approach that?
Play them on Uscrew maybe, and the courier mission.
Oh, okay. Easy.
Yeah. All right. Game over.
Game over. I hopefully win that one.
Especially the courier mission. Make sure to draw that one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Nal Hutta is gross on that one. Jet troopers are stupid on Nal Hutta. Yep. I need to look at it before I make a final decision, but I'm tempted to take the top with Devious on that just because they can't snipe me out, and hopefully it's a little harder for them to get to some of those objectives. But then again, I do like some of the placements, and I would just change which direction I think I went. I think I would be tempted to go all to the cliff side and that right side with Iggy and the weak ways and stuff, and try and snipe out some of those guys on Nal Hutta. On Jawa, man, they can move. Yeah, it's just, you got to kill things. You got to try and get them down. If those riots are just running up, taking boxes, you're hoping you can kill the jet troopers fast enough to then converge on the riots when it doesn't matter, or they don't get to do anything back. And you hope you can win that race.
Who do you have to contest objectives, Micah, in your list?
For like sitting on objectives, or for like picking up objectives?
Yeah, like who are your like expendable units that you will use, that you will push towards objective contesting?
If I'm still sitting with the Greedo list, it's going to be Greedo and Jawa. Yeah, maybe an Iggy to try and like go take an objective that isn't going to get re-slaughtered back if I leave them there. Those are, it's not really a huge objective heavy list.
Yeah, absolutely. Hassan, you've got a slightly better list for that. What's the game plan there?
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, the Vader jets list is pretty good at dealing with objectives. I mean, the jets themselves are amazing on Nal Hutta contesting objectives on both missions, like on Rainy Freight and Shielded both. So they're fine there. And then, you know, Mos Eisley, you've got the riot troopers who can, you know, hold the boxes, and you can even use them to just pick up the boxes and bring them back to your deployment zone. So I would say, you know, against trooper swarm, you should try to, you know, keep up on objectives as much as you can. But at some point, you also have to accept that you're probably not going to win the objective game and just start killing things, especially the jets. Because if you start killing the jets, that list loses like all of its teeth.
Absolutely. Makes total sense. I feel like, man, I got to think about that. What I'm going to do against jets on Shielded, especially, because that is just very, very scary. I mean, I've played against it a bunch of times, but I still haven't quite figured out in terms of attacking. I think that's the interesting question for like a Han Ranger list, is if these jets are going to literally be contesting, jets and the riots that they've got are going to be contesting every single objective round one. Do you really want to give them all of those points while you're trying to gun down Vader? Right, like, what's the game plan there? That's going to be very, very interesting to see how that works out.
Yeah, normally, like, I hate on Nal Hutta being, like, a, you know, particularly short-ranged melee list player. But, like, Shielded is actually really good versus yes. Han Rangers. Because, you know, Rangers cannot really move out and contest the objectives. And, you know, they've got the two smugglers to go out and do it, but those guys just die.
Yeah, exactly.
And they can't... Yeah. They cannot hit all four shields.
Nope.
So, you know, I think, you know, Han Rangers, you're just going to lose the objective battle. And I don't really know what you do, actually.
Yeah, I don't think it's been quite been figured out, because your smugglers will contest objectives round one so that they don't. So that's 8 points you deny your opponent, which is good. But they're getting the other 8 points. And then the question is, how are you going to, because then you've got to make up, you know, 8 points plus before the, you know, before the end of the next round. And that's just going to get really, really scary really fast. So,
yeah. And jets are really hard to kill when they're next to shields, because you get -1 surge and then they get agile on top of that. So you're just like never getting surges.
Absolutely. It's brutal. Brutal and awesome and awful.
It's like four little C-3POs all over the map.
That's exactly right. Oh, those guys are the worst. Okay. So we've talked about objectives. Let's end with the thing that I really don't want to see, although we know we're going to see a bunch of it, is scum, specifically IG. So I'm just going to, let's just assume that the standard list we're going to see is the 7 activation IG double weakways with Rebel Care Package. Let's do DT's variant with R2-D2 and Black Market. So we know he's probably going to have Blaze. What's the game plan there?
Yeah, so actually I've played against a lot of IG. You know, one of my two practice partners is John Mesmore. And, you know, I taught him, like, I sort of brought him into the game. And the first list I gave him was IG weakways. And he has literally not played anything but IG ever since. It's kind of funny. So, you know, every time we play, it's just another practice game against IG. So I have a lot of experience against IG. And I'm sort of 50-50 against it with Vader. The funny thing about Vader and IG is that they're very good at killing each other. It just sort of depends on like initiative and like who gets to attack who first. So, you know, I'm a very aggressive player. So I like initially I would always just like toss Vader right at IG. And And I'm like, okay, next round, you know, round two, Vader should survive with a little bit of health left, and then he just, you know, obliterate IG. But, like, that never happens. IG can, you know, if he's got Blaze of Glory round one, which, of course, you know, John always does, then he's getting, like, 3 to 4 attacks on Vader in round one. And then start of round two, he's probably drawn negation, so he's going to negate my take initiative, and he's getting another 2 attacks, and Vader's probably dead.
Yeah.
So in my experience, so first of all, the primary target is always IG because he just puts out so much damage. And as long as IG on the board, Vader is in trouble. But I think you have to be a little bit conservative against IG when you're playing Vader. You can't just toss him into the lion's den because he's just going to die. So what I found works best is to sort of play a little bit conservatively with Vader and make IG expose himself to get that, you know, Blaze of Glory double tap off in round one. Because if he doesn't get it off in round one, he actually loses a lot of that power. Because, you know, the power of Blaze of Glory in round one is that he can, you know, IG can go last against Vader because he's always going to have the activation advantage. And then he gets to play Blaze of Glory and go again. And then start of round two, he gets to go again. And he just gets like 5 free attacks without you getting any response.
Yeah.
So I think if you can just make him expose himself and have Vader survive until round two, you can take down IG pretty easily in like 2 Vader attacks.
Yeah, absolutely. Especially if you have the parting blow combo, you will kill him in 2
attacks. Oh my god, it's hilarious. I was playing Uscrew the other night against John, and you know, at the end of round one, we both opened like the middle doors, and I was like 9 spaces away from IG. And so he thought his IG was safe, and he activated like someone else, like Vinto first. And then I activate Vader, and I play Urgency, Force Rush, looking for a fight to move 9 spaces.
Oh,
attack
boy.
Him once, do like 8 damage, and then Dark Energy Parting Blow, attack him again. And he just died in one activation. It was like the best thing ever. I'd never done that before.
GG, right there. That's it.
Yeah, we just called it after that. But that was like ridiculously stupid luck on card draw. Don't expect that to happen all the time.
Yeah, but that's quite awesome. Man, that's such a great combo. I love it. I like the IG players are quaking in their boots. Okay, Micah, give us the plan. I guess you've got 8 activations, so you've got a little bit of an advantage there.
Yeah.
What's the plan?
Should hopefully get the last activation in that first round. I actually had this matchup yesterday in the last game of our tournament against Matsurobin. And I was able to move to an unconventional spot and actually pulled out his Blaze end of round one because I didn't even have it yet. And he came around, took a big shot on IG and did like 8 damage. But then I got the initiative with my Devious bid, and then I had negation in my hand. And then I turned around and put 13 damage on him in one shot. Or no, I put 11 damage on him in one shot, and he already had 3 from Blaze. So it was like, second shot, are you going to take the strain as a card or damage and just, you know, die? And he's like, I'll do it as a card because maybe you'll whiff. And it wasn't even close. So it's just trying to find those ways to hopefully get a opening against that IG. And that was an IG with double weak ways. So I was like, I'm screwed. I thought I was screwed. And I was able to move up in Nalhutta from the bottom to a place where I was able to kill a weak way end of round one with IG and not have to worry about where he was placed, and then do that and then kill another one the next turn after killing IG88. So it's just... Yeah, oh man, it's just a lot of hope you can position better, hope you can take advantage of some mistakes and not make them yourself, and just trying to figure out the rest of the little things you can turn your way.
I think the 8 activation is pretty huge though, right? Because that means you get to pocket your IG until you get to go last against that IG, and that it's like having Han go last against IG. It's just so good.
Had he known that, or had he not known, or okay, let's just scratch that. Had I had Blaze, he would have been absolutely destroyed.
Yes, absolutely.
You know, and so that was the, like, he sat there for a couple of minutes thinking, like, do I go around this corner and try and shoot you for one shot? Because I was far enough away that it would only be one. And so it's like, man, if I had Blaze, that game would have landslid even more. So... Yeah, just trying to put yourself in a position where they have to overextend and you can retaliate to the better advantage.
general strategy question, Micah.
Yeah.
If you've got Blaze and you're only going to be able to get off one attack from it, is it worth playing or do you hold on to it until you're going to be able to get two?
That is a really hard question to answer. Like, I've been thinking about that with Uscrew a lot. Just thinking, man, I'd rather move to shoot something twice or shoot two different things and then survive that. Hopefully, like, make sure that I'm in a place where I can survive that one activation, then bam, I'm ready to go again. And yeah, sure, that's a blaze of glory. If I can get more than 12 points, like, spoiler alert, I play Celebration, hoping that I can, you know, make it a little bit better. Like, when I killed his Iggy, I played Celebration, so I took 16 points off that. And yeah, like, that's another thing that I think will hopefully help a lot. There's only one negation in a deck, so trying to make those zero pointers really help you gain some extra points is huge.
Absolutely. Okay, with that being the case, let's close it off with like a general discussion of what we think that Ahsoka's map is going to do to the meta. It seemed like there was a lot of pandemonium initially. That's kind of calmed down a little bit, at least on the Slack channel, as people have been playing it pretty frantically, trying to get an idea of what's going on. Let's start with Hassan. What do you think? How do you think that the current map rotation, like, what is it going to benefit specifically with Ahsoka's map?
So I think absolutely Scum is the winner here. Hunters.
Yes.
We quite specifically just love this map.
Yes.
Because you have so much time to charge up, getting focus hidden and drawing all your cards. And even, like I said, IG is okay on this map. Like, he has enough movement to move out, take some shots, move back to safety. So I think, like, this map might push more people into playing Hunters. And even though, like, you know, we've been sort of suffering from Hunter fatigue for a while, but maybe those players who, you know, went off to play like Han Rangers or Vader, with this map, they might come back now. I think Han Rangers is okay on this map. I've seen, like, a lot of people have been trying Han Rangers on Vassal here, and they've been pretty successful. So I know some people are saying that, like, Rangers might suffer a little bit because the lines of sight are really wonky on this map. But I think once people figure out the lines of sight, the Ranger will be okay.
Yeah, I agree.
And yeah, I think sort of similar thing with Vader. Once people figure out exactly where to put Vader and the jets, he'll sort of be fine. You know, it just takes time to figure out, like, where to put your guys and what's the best place to go to close distance in round two and round three. So yeah,
and your general advice for Imperial players with Vader is just go up the middle. Don't let your opponent pick a side, right?
Yeah, basically, because if you pick a side, they're gonna pick the other side, and you won't be able to close distance. I think you just gotta rush in there.
Micah, give us your thoughts.
I think that it doesn't really hurt too much in general. The clear loser is the Alliance Smugglers.
Other than
on the control mission, with a little help from Gideon, they can't really do much other than sit on one. You know, they can do the same thing Greedo can do with a little bit of help from a friend, and go to Greedo's lounge and get you 4 points, which is worth it. But other than that, they're not doing a whole lot, and so I think they need to become body blockers to get a little bit of benefit out of them. But I really don't think that it's going to hurt Vader that much. I've heard some people, you know, like some just say, oh no, this guy's following Vader's not worth bringing. And I'm like, no, Vader's,
that's insane.
That's a little melodramatic.
Vader is always worth bringing.
Vader's always worth bringing. That's why I don't want to play him. But like, you know,
did you hear that, Hassan? Did you hear that?
Hassan, I hope I don't play you. Cause you seem like a nice guy. And I don't want to lose
round one now.
Right. So yeah, I just think that there's so, I know people don't like the first round in this map, but I think a lot of people just like, you need to figure out what you're doing in the first round. You need to figure out what you're doing against a couple of these things. And then go quickly in the first round and get to round four. I know I hate saying that because I'm usually a get to round three and kind of like, okay, there's 5 minutes left. Okay, we're going to play an untimed round three. And I know that, you know, some people are like, man, you got to get to a round four. But like, if there's any map that we're going to be able to get through a first round fast, it should be this.
It's true.
And I think a lot of people are going to run into other people's strategies on this map and be surprised or have not thought about that, or because it's just so quick. Like, I mean, again, it's just like, oh yeah, Han can go there. That's not fun. Or yeah. Or Vader can, you know, last second go to this door instead of that door. And, oh, I'm within two spaces of that. That sucks. So be thinking about those kinds of things. But I don't think you should change your list unless your list sucked already. Just because of this map.
And in which case, if your list sucked already, then...
keep it. Keep it.
Yeah, that's right.
Play me first round, I hope.
Yeah, I would say, like, if you're playing a Bantha, you should probably not play a Bantha now. Like, yes, not that you were already because Nelhut exists, but
yeah,
this map just makes Bantha worse because you can't do anything like round two, with it. So
no, they can spread out way too much. Ugnaughts is kind of the same way, right? It's going to take that droid so long to get around.
I hope so. I hope
Thank goodness.
Yeah,
I know. That's absolutely right. They put the nail in the coffin. Thank heaven.
Doesn't fix the problem, though. They have to think about it going ahead all the time.
Sure. Absolutely. Well, I mean, we will continue to berate FFG to release the FAQ that they should have released a month or so ago. But, oh well.
Yeah.
C'est la vie. Awesome. Well, we want to thank you guys, you dear brothers, for coming on. Obviously, your insights are incredibly helpful. I hope that for players who are taking whatever list, obviously, if you're taking one of the archetypes, that this has kind of jostled your brains a little bit to think about how it is you're going to handle each of the corresponding archetypes. It's going to be really interesting. Worlds, we thought the meta was crazy before, and it was pretty wide open, but now it's really, really, really wide open. So it'll be really interesting to see how that all pans out. Do you guys have any more thoughts for us? Any more wisdom?
Yeah, I just want to say, like, so for anyone who's going to Worlds for the first time, you know, my first time going to Worlds was last year, and I went for X-Wing. I didn't go for IA. But I want to say, like, Worlds is, like, the best gaming experience I have ever had. And so for anyone who's going for the first time, I would say just go and have the time of your life, because it is like the best gaming experience you'll ever have. Like, don't stress about the tournament results or anything, you know, like, oh, don't stress because you want, like, you know, 3-3 in IA or something. You get to hang out with like all the coolest people from around the country who play IA. Like, that's the best. So, you know, just go and have fun. You can meet me. You can meet Kenny. You can meet Brett. You can meet, you know, all these wonderful people. So
I am quite wonderful, Hassan. You're absolutely right.
You're also the worst, but do have some good qualities, I guess.
I'll take it. Shots fired. Micah, you got any more pearls of wisdom for us?
Yeah, I would jump on the same train right there. Like, I mean, this year we set up a house and we've got 12 people in this house that are all people we've either met from last year or the past years. And so just getting together and hanging out with and meeting new people, I mean, that's the most fun. It's all the stuff that you get to do with all these friends and talk about, like, oh, man, can you believe that happened? And, oh, wow, you're still doing that well. That's amazing. And just, like, how in the world did you make it this far? That's crazy. That's half the fun right there. And then just getting to hang out with everybody is a ton of fun. Like, I could say that, like, if I only win one game, I'm okay. And that's, you know, maybe somewhere deep down inside I might be, but at the same time, like, I don't need to make it to top 16 again to be like Worlds was totally worth it, you know? Yeah. So just, they say fly casual, but just, you know, punch each other in the face in the game and then leave it there and just have some fun.
You fly know, casual. We need a catchphrase for IA, like fly casual.
We do. We got to think about that.
No, I got it. Our motto is Legion sucks and is the worst.
That's it. Legion sucks and is the worst. That's what we're quoting our Slack bot there. We'll have to think about that.
I'd rather kiss a Wookiee than play Legion.
That's right. Oh, man. We've got so many. We got to come up. I mean, I think that the fly casual motto for X-Wing, because I also played X-Wing for a few years. I haven't played in about a year. But the fly casual motto was just the best thing in the world for the X-Wing community. It helped new players like me be able to come in and have fun and not worry so much about losing all the time. I feel like X-Wing kind of lost that a little bit as it went on its merry way. And maybe part of that is just that the meta kind of got in such a weird spot.
Yeah, just that a little.
Maybe it was just tough to sustain good feeling all of the time.
I would say that when you sit down with your opponent, you know, introduce yourself, shake hands, and then do everything you can to just communicate clearly and talk through the steps of things and make sure that you guys don't have any kind of like, you don't leave anything on the table that was a salty feeling. Dice are dice, but don't take away any opportunities for somebody to like make their mind up real quick and actually make their play.
Yeah, because I mean, I feel like part of the thing to remember with everybody is that IA, like, we're not that old of a game, right? We're a few years behind X-Wing, and the community's still building. And I feel like it's really important that we make sure that everyone we play, it's not like you got to be best friends with everybody, but it is important that everybody that, like, everybody who's listening to this podcast and people who are going to Worlds, I do think it's really important that we just focus on making sure that we're building the community together, right? And we're not going to do that if we all hate each other. So you're going to be really mad when I roll 6 dodges in a row, all of my opponents. But that's just one of those things you're just going to have to live with. So
yeah, just dodge casual.
Just dodge casual. Oh, man, that might be it.
Oh, what have I done?
That might be cool. Keep calm and roll dodges. That's my motto. God. All right. Well, we want to thank Micah and Hassan for coming on. This has been an awesome episode. We want to wish everybody the best of luck at Worlds. Remember, be cool and calm about it. DT's just going to win again. So, you know, no sense in working up too much of a sweat. But we want to thank you, brothers, for coming on.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Yeah, thanks for having me on.
Okay, and we want to thank everyone for listening. We want to encourage you to join us on the Slack channel. Send an email to zionsfinestia@gmail.com and support us on Patreon. Go to patreon.com/zionsfinest. Thanks so much. Have a good day.